Gary Pearson, the CEO of the North Platte Chamber, Area Chamber and Development, the official title of the chamber. And it's good that we have you in once a month to kind of catch up. A lot of people might be surprised if they've followed you around, or, you know, if they just kind of shadowed you, I guess, for a day or a week or something. I mean, you're all over the place, and I'm sure you know how much time a day average do you spend on the phone talking with people or in person?
It's a significant amount.
Yeah,
and with the emails too, and texts, and you name it. You know, people communicate in all different
and probably
ways,
people all over the state.
Yeah, obviously we've had a lot of statewide issues, and you know, you got the legislative session, and we've had to make some. Three trips to Lincoln and one to Omaha and back for different meetings and situations. So it eats up a lot of time. But, you know, these are all critical times, and these legislative bills that we've been a part of, you know, were critical for our rail park development and also for maybe the long-term future of Union Pacific in Nebraska.
Yeah, so. When you're forward-thinking as the North Platte Chamber is, and you want development, you can't wait for it to come to you. You've got to lay the groundwork for it, and we've talked about this so much before, but that you've got to be proactive, don't you, in reaching out and making these things happen. You've got to go down to the legislature. You've got to speak your mind about bills that are going to affect development.
Absolutely. Thankfully, we got a really great senator down there, Senator Jacobson, and he is very influential, and he gets the job done, and gets it done right. And that is, you know, that makes the process a lot easier to maneuver through. But you know, you never take anything for granted, no matter how much a bill might think, well, gosh, this is a no-brainer. But LB 719, which
we got three bills right now that are kind of instrumental and are going to impact us.
The very good news there is it's already law. We got it out of committee on an 8-0 vote. We had three readings on the floor with a timeline, you know, that the law mandates. Mm-hmm. And then it went to the governor's desk, and he signed it this week. So it is officially in place, has an emergency clause on it, so we don't have the 90-day wait period. But what this did was clarify the language in the Rural Projects Act on how we can spend some of the state funding that we qualified for by our own local investment in the rail park. And so this will allow us to build infrastructure on right-of-ways, easements, bring utilities from a distance into the rail park, and just took all the ambiguity or gray area out of it. Yep. And it's going to make the state a lot more comfortable saying, yeah, you can spend it that way, you know, because they were very hesitant to give us a green light on some of this. And to me, it's just common sense development, but people who don't work with that every day sometimes don't understand that everything just doesn't happen on property that you own.
Right.
You know, so this, I couldn't ask for it to have gone any better. You got a 48-0 vote on the final reading, and then
sounds like unanimous, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was one person not present, so that's why it was 48 instead of 49.
Okay.
But, so that's really great news. The LB 915 is one that we opposed. This is the bill that they wanted to expand to have more inland port authorities in the state of Nebraska. I reminded the Urban Affairs Committee because, you know, senators change, people change, and a lot of them weren't around when this got adopted. But the Nebraska Department of Transportation is really the guiding force on patterning what transportation should look like in the state of Nebraska, said that they thought we could have three inland ports established in Nebraska. We hadn't had any previously that could operate viably without, you know, saturation or getting on each other's turf, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But politics being what they were, they raised that limit to five when the law was passed. Well, now some of the communities who didn't get applications in or didn't get approved, and they're pushing now for even more.
They want to get in on the port action.
It's just, and it's not, to me, it's not good policy. So the LB 915 called for it to be six instead of five. Five have already been approved, and it took 3 years in which to get all of those through the process.
So is that going to take some funding away from the one we
have
out here?
This is the silly thing of it is there's no money to be had. There's no money
allocated. They haven't appropriated any fund for any extra inland port authorities.
In fact, they've taken it away. And there's still some money in queue out there that was supposed to be used for
inland ports. That doesn't make a lot of sense, Gary.
No, and then the shortfall in the revenue, they've swept those funds away. So, you know, again, we're trying to get them to understand the complexities of this. People don't understand how complicated this is. You could tell that by the testimony. Well, then more people came and they testified and what they decided to do, and this is just I don't understand it, but they tagged it on to a Urban Affairs Priority Bill 1114, and they raised it to 8 now.
Okay,
instead of 5 to 6, they wanted to go from 5 to 8.
Potential of 3 more inland port authorities being created.
In the state of Nebraska.
But then they have to provide funding for it.
Well, they should, but they're not. You know, so.
Well, then what's the use?
Well, I think it's people have this glamorous thing. They think, well, if we're able to ship products, you know, we can do it internationally and we can do customs on site and that kind of thing. But these are very expensive operations to get into place. And so we were the first one, the state of Nebraska, ever established. So we're a ways down the road with ours. It's just the long term. You don't want it to oversaturate. So, you know, that was our opposition to it.
Yeah, and that's understandable for sure. So this bill has passed.
Well, no, it's not passed. Okay. What it did it got tagged along with 5 other bills onto the priority bill of the Urban Affairs Committee. It's like those Christmas tree bills they call them.
Yes, they had a bunch of stuff.
Just stuff in there. And it
that should not be allowed in my mind.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
But they did it. And now it goes before the legislature. Senator Jacobson will no doubt, you know, raise concern over it. And
that's got to be filibuster. Yeah. I don't like that.
And the crazy thing of it is it was the same group that was pushing for this was the same group that said that North Platte couldn't have a casino because it was too close to Grand Island's Fauna Park. Well, now Grand Island wants an inland port authority, so why don't they use the same logic? Well, it's too close to North Platte to have it. But
depends what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
The logic they apply.
Politics
it, right?
are on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So we'll fight the good fight. I'm just hoping it doesn't get out this year. It doesn't get passed. So they can more thoroughly vet this and understand why it's. This is not a good idea.
Well, to me, it's stupid because if you're passing a bill which says you can have you can create up to 3 more of inland port authorities, but there's no plans to fund it.
Right. I said,
what good does that do? You know?
I said, give us a fighting chance to make this thing work, because you're going to have to generate all your own revenue, so you can't just go hire a bunch of people and on staff, you know, to operate this without having a revenue stream. And there's no revenue stream there unless you're actually doing shipping. And so we're just in the infancy of that, starting to try to generate that revenue. And we've had to be very creative in thinking about an operator out there because there's really no money to pay them until you start generating the revenue. And with the exception of Omaha got an earmark off of interest money that was allocated to the Perkins Canal. So they've hired a ton of staff for their inland port authority. But it just, I don't know. It's just politics not in a good look.
Okay. And then we got LB 1165. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, this is, there's been a lot of news come out of the legislature the last 2 days on this. It's the incentive bill that was incentivized companies like Union Pacific to leave their headquarters in Nebraska, and it makes it especially beneficial to have jobs of over $100,000. And this works both on a retention and a growth. If the merger gets approved on the federal level between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern, then the likelihood, or because one of them is based in Atlanta, Georgia, and the other one's based in Omaha. So with Union Pacific actually being the acquiring entity on a merger, Omaha seems the logical place to have the headquarters.
Sure.
But incentives being what they are, you know, Georgia is going to do everything they can to entice that headquarters down there. So Nebraska's trying to be ahead of the game and to be competitive on it. And certainly with our presence with Bailey Yard here at North Platte, you know, this is a really critical bill for us as well. And so we did provide a written testimony on it as well, just to say, you know, this just isn't an Omaha thing. This is a Nebraska thing. And it's really beneficial to North Platte also. We're already seeing some benefits of kind of the mindset going forward on this merger. Union Pacific officials told us this week they're going to create, they want to create 90 more jobs out here at Bailey Yard in the transportation division. And they want to hire them all within the next 90 days. This isn't speculation going way down in the future. This is immediate. And they're comfortable in being able to do that because we've worked so hard on getting additional housing now. That's always been a deterrent in the past for the growth of UP in North Platte because we were really challenged on the availability of housing. And so now we've got all these nice housing developments moving forward. They recognize that. They've been great to work with, and we're thrilled that they and I asked them if we could talk about it, you know, so openly, and they said, by all means. So there, you'll be seeing and hearing a lot about that in the very near future.
Okay. You want to talk about what the Inland Port brought up at their meeting on Wednesday?
Yeah, we met with the design engineer and the economic development specialist for the Union Pacific that's been working with us on the rail park, too. So we saw the final design that's going to get kicked over to the UP now for their final say on it, and then we'll be able to bid out the drop and pull yard and the transload area. That's a huge movement forward in our development there, and now that we have LB 719 moving forward, we know how that we can pay for it. Mm-hmm. So because obviously we got to, you know, cover every expenditure on that, and great news there. We're sure hoping that it'll get bid out early enough in the spring that construction can start, you know, this construction year. Because it's also critical that on our Rural Projects Act, we have to, in August, apply for an extension of 5 years. It's a 10-year program. Okay. First 5 years, you have to hit all these check marks and get all this stuff done. And then the next 5 years allows you to get basically all the development in place. Mm-hmm. So we're right on target. And this was a great step forward, and then also at the meeting, it appears now that we're going to be able to hire the operator that we wanted to on at least the interim basis. The same people are involved in Project Grit with the sand and gravel. Yep. So the legal counsel, which is Kendra Stroman for the Inland Port Authority, she had been talking to the Accountability and Disclosure Commission just to make sure there wasn't any perceived conflict in doing that. And as long as we have a supervisory committee that handles all the requests for shipping and that kind of thing, and an oversight committee, and then the actual operation itself, then it can still be operated by the operator there. So that should become formalized on March 9th, pending vote by the Inland Port Authority. But everybody's comfort level, you know, we got something in writing from them, and they said, you're right on target. There's no conflict perceived, and so I think we're in really great shape there.
That we look like we're doing good there with the Inland Port. Talk about this new housing development, groundbreaking for the Riverside community.
Yeah, this is another one of those big housing developments that they're going to have a groundbreaking April 30th. And along with that, they're going to have a couple of show homes of what they're planning to build. This is another development over where you're seeing all that construction activity right now along Fort Francis Street is getting extended. It's between East Phillip and the river going to the south. And so this is the second link of that's moving forward. And so they've got a really ambitious plan as well. So it's that whole area is just going to, you know, historically it's been a big donut hole in North Platte forever and ever. And now you're going to see all this great new development in this new corridor being developed there. We'll be able to attract new commercial development, some light industrial, as well as some really neat residential properties and probably some, you know, there'll be some park property, park system sure. property in the midst there. And so another very exciting development for North Platte. And this developer has worked a long, long time. In fact, he's he grew up in the Ogallala area.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Austin Hillis.
Okay.
And so this is his company and his partners okay. that are involved in this. And
great.
And he's been great to work with. And he's went through a lot of processes with the city of North Platte over the last 3 years to get to this point. And so the investment group is in place, and they've got a pretty ambitious plan. I think they're hoping to build somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 30 single-family houses a year.
That's great. That's great.
And really catches up on that. We've been pretty successful getting a lot of multifamily in place, lease-type properties, but we're still lagging a little bit on the single-family aspect of
okay.
it. So
groundbreaking for that April 30th, and then they hope to start constructing sometime
right
in
away.
The weeks after.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
Get it going, and do they have a projected completion date on that
well,
yet?
It'll be all market demand.
Okay.
You know, the infrastructure will get in place as the demand continues moving forward. And, you know, nobody wants to sit around with, you know, 30 spec homes sitting
yep.
there not selling. So,
well, I think they can count on demand, I think. You know,
yeah, I do too. I'm really encouraged by this, yep. as well as all the other developments on the housing arena. Mm-hmm. My gosh, 10 years ago, we were just absolutely desperate for housing and yep. wasn't seeing a whole lot of anything going on. So this is different times in North Platte,
yep.
and that's part of our marketing scheme too. This is the new North Platte, and you're going to like it.
Moving on up, I guess, huh?
You betcha.
All right. New format for Big Ideas.
Yeah, this is our young professionals, and of course, Cassie Condon from our staff has mm-hmm. done a marvelous job of putting this program together. They think we've probably reached maybe a saturation point with some of the aspiring entrepreneurs. So what they're going to do is take a breather for a year.
Okay.
And maybe go to an every other year concept, and that way we don't burn out our sponsors, and
okay.
and we'll still obviously work with all the entrepreneurs in town, you know, with business planning, that kind of thing. But this is something they felt that it was at that time after doing this, you know, for several years back to back, that let's just take a year to reflect back and perfect it,
okay.
and come up with some additional sponsors and really make the one in 2027 be something really special.
Okay.
So.
All right. We'll look forward to that. And then we've got a collaboration campus coming to North Platte.
This is a very exciting thing. This is something that's been going on behind the scenes for several months. And so it was announced to a group of potential investors this week. And so we got the green light that we can now talk about it.
All right.
But this is a four-pronged effect. Mm-hmm. You know, child care is a huge issue in anybody's workforce
yep.
development in today's world. So this is going to have an early learning center as part of it, as part
okay.
of the campus. Then the North Platte Area Children's Museum will be relocated to it. And with the city's blessing or permission, they have not addressed this issue publicly yet, but
okay.
the North Platte City Library would have a new facility there as part of it. And
okay.
then the fourth thing would be a food distribution center that would aid a lot of the residents in our immediate area that have food needs. You know,
okay.
it's like a food bank that people can
food
go
pantry.
To. But this would be uh-huh. the distribution center that would filter it out to all the neighboring communities. Right now, a lot of this is done in Omaha. And so there really needs to be another division of this out
okay.
in west central Nebraska. And where our own Walmart distribution center does contribute some products
yep.
to this,
yep.
it makes more sense it's here than having to ship it to Omaha and then ship it back, you know, to
yeah.
to local people.
Certainly.
So and there may be other things that become part of the collaboration. Some of these things may or may not happen. You know, it's all dependent on everybody's own organization that has to commit to making it happen. But there's a group that's been kind of spearheading this behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Keenan, local business man here in North mm-hmm. Platte and state chamber board chair.
Yep.
He was kind of instrumental in bringing this group out to North Platte.
Mm-hmm.
It's J. Rose Partners. You probably remember Jim Rose from the days of being the Husker voice.
Oh yeah.
So this is his company.
Yeah.
And they want to, him and his partners want to create a model that other communities can then pattern after on how you can make all these efficiencies work together and keep your overhead lower and really create something really special for your community. So we're kind of, we're the pilot project. Mm-hmm. Making this work, and they also have connections to all these very wealthy foundations in eastern Nebraska. And a lot of those foundations have a statewide mission. And so a lot of the money does get spent in the Omaha-Lincoln corridor and, you know, kind of what's perceived as the metropolitan area of Nebraska.
Yep.
And they want to really branch out to west central Nebraska or western Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people sometimes refer to it as greater Nebraska, but it's really the rural area of Nebraska. And,
sure.
And so North Platte has a chance to be this pilot program, and this will be located out where we're seeing all that new development, too.
That's what I was going to ask you next, is do they have the land for it?
Yeah. I don't think they have the details finalized, but they have like a memorandum of understanding with one of the developers that's involved, and it'll really help kick loose the additional development out there, too. Obviously, there's some fundraising that has to be a part of this.
Sure.
Because you're going to have local match for some of these
billion-dollar
type foundations that are from eastern Nebraska. But if we can draw some of that money out this way, you know, good for North Platte, good for this community, and then to have a learning center that's catching children at an early age in their development and their for their development skills and their mental skills is so critical. And you see,
yes, it is.
A lot of psychologists will talk about this, you know, all the time. If kids get messed up, you know, at early in life when they're under 10 years of age, you know, that's going to haunt them the rest of their life, and it's going to follow their patterns.
Right.
And if you can give those kids a first-rate early learning center experience prior to the time they get into the public or private school system, you know, they're going to have a leg up on their future and making them productive citizens too. So,
wow, sounds like a great thing. I see they have a website. If people want to get more information on this, they can go to collaborationcampus.org.
That, I'm glad you mentioned that, because they're going to keep everybody up to date on that website.
Good.
So you can check that periodically. And I should mention also, Colton Ventiker is he's part of the Bacon Vinton Law Office in Gothenburg, and he has a local office here too. He's been very instrumental in with this Jim Rose group, as as has Troy Stickles, and then Melanie O'Brien, who's well known here in North Platte as a grant writer. She has joined their team as well. So those four have put in a ton of time and effort to make this happen, as have a lot of volunteers. So really excited where that's headed.
It will be fun to watch the progress here and get updates from you as you come back here in the months and years to come. And when it all gets said and done, I mean, it's great to have a plan, but to get it followed through on and have it actually happen is even better. And I get the feeling from what you just said that we're gonna make this happen, and we'll match the funds needed and make it happen.
It's absolutely critical for really will give North Platte a leg up on
A
lot of stuff.
Anything else that you wanted to mention, Gary?
Well, I think we're good.
Okay.
Just got, you know, a ton of projects and moving forward, and we look for a really great 2026 construction year. And well, the housing developments are really going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be a lot of hammers employed and a lot of wood structures coming together.
Absolutely.
For sure, right? It's going to it's going to be fun. For sure, and we'll schedule a time, get you on next month, and get an update, and it'll be fun to get these monthly updates, too, and see what's happening, and we'll just talk about all the great development happening in North Platte. Gary Pearson, CEO of the North Platte Area Chamber and Development, our guest this morning, and thank you, sir,
for
coming on the show.